In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this debt, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
pray. O Lord,
mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of our sins, deliver us from every evil. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament readings for Quinquagesima is from 1 Samuel chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples.
You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I have, give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you.
our Lord Jesus Christ set his face toward Jerusalem to accomplish everything that is written about him by the prophets. The delivery to the Gentiles, the mocking, the insulting, the spitting, the flogging, the killing, and finally, the rising. But the disciples did not understand. It was hidden from them. They had glimpsed his power in the miracles. They had felt the depth of his wisdom in his teaching. They recognized that he was the prophet greater than Moses, that John was his Elijah, that he was the Son of the living God. They confessed the truth about him. But the real point of his compassion, of his mercy, what it would cost him, was mostly lost on them. They did not yet grasp the mission for which he came in the kingdom he would establish. The prophets had spoken clearly to them in Holy Scripture, but they had become accustomed to reading the prophets like a book of quotes, skimming about for the good bits. They had also, no doubt, been influenced by the popular messianic expectations of the day that had all but drowned out the prophets and what they had written about the Messiah. They were looking for a powerful Alexander the Great-like Messiah who would conquer their enemies and establish his kingdom right here on earth. But mostly the reason this was hidden from them is the same reason it is hidden from many today, and often even to us, namely that the cross is utter foolishness to our human reason. A dead man on a cross for the salvation of all sinners is absurd in the eyes of this dead and dying world, and in the human reason of all sinners who dwell therein. A dead man on a cross is seen as a picture of weakness, not of power. This is one of the reasons even many Christians today avoid crucifixes, falsely claiming that a better symbol of Christianity is an empty cross, since an empty cross, they claim, is a symbol of Christ's resurrection. How they make that connection is a mystery, since an empty cross is just an empty cross, not an empty tomb. But many are bewitched, and these disciples are still, at this time, by a theology of glory that wants to bypass Good Friday and get right to Easter. Dear friends, there is no Easter without Good Friday. And more importantly, it is not on Easter that our salvation is accomplished, but on Good Friday. The empty tomb on the third day is simply vindication of the victory our Lord Jesus Christ won for us on the cross. The victory he won for us over sin, death, and the devil. At any rate, being stuck in this theology of glory keeps the disciples from understanding the mission for which Jesus came. They were not yet ready to beg, not yet ready for the mocking, insulting, spitting, scourging, and killing. They didn't want to face what their sins would do to him. They didn't yet understand what he must do to take away their sins. And then the surprise, where these disciples of Jesus were blind, this blind beggar sees. It's ironic and unexpected, but this is always how it is with our Lord. His very own disciples, the men who have been traveling with him and listening to him and witnessing his miracles for over 3 years, can't see, but this blind beggar does see. When he is told that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, he shows forth his faith by crying out that cry of faith, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He doesn't ask for justice. He doesn't ask for healing. He doesn't complain about his lot in life or whine about the inequities and indignities he has suffered for being blind. No, he cries out for mercy.
sees. He has faith. And this faith he has, which has been given to him as a gift from above, will not allow those rebuking him to keep him silent. He cries out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Again, where they were blind, the blind beggar sees. He has faith. He knows who Jesus is, for he uses the messianic title, Son of David, when he cries out to him. And he knows why the Messiah has come. For he cries out not for the Messiah to conquer enemies, establish an earthly kingdom, or exercise his power by healing him of his blindness, but he cries out for mercy. It is for mercy that the Messiah has come. This blind beggar gets it right. He has faith. He sees. He understands the prophets better than Jesus' own disciples. He knows who Jesus is and why he has come. And he receives that for which he asks. For everyone who asks for mercy from the Lord receives the mercy for which they ask. It is who he is. It is why he sets his face toward Jerusalem, for the sake of mercy, to save sinners, to free prisoners, to pardon criminals. It is mercy that drives him to the cross to endure the most unjust judgment, the greatest affliction in body and soul, and the most heartbreaking of betrayals and self-serving cowardice from his friends that the world has ever or will ever know. It is for mercy that he gives himself over to the mocking, beating, spitting, flogging, and killing. It is for mercy that he allows himself to be led like a lamb to the slaughter and nailed to a cross. Jesus had mercy on the blind beggar. His eyes were opened, even as his eyes of faith had already been opened. Then he was full of joy. He had mercy, forgiveness, grace. He followed Jesus to Jerusalem. He set his eyes on Jesus, who sets his face to the cross. He glorified God for the delivery to the Gentiles. He glorified God for the mocking, insulting, spitting, flogging, and killing. And he glorified God for the rising. The word of the prophets was fulfilled in Jesus. Mercy came to earth in our flesh. And the mercy made flesh fulfilled his promise by giving his life as a ransom to save all sinners. Dear friends in Christ, today we set our faces toward Jerusalem. We are 3 days from Ashes and 50 days from Easter. We are about to embark on the holy and penitential season of Lent. Let us learn from the blind man to hold Jesus to his word. Let us learn to ask for that which we need, which we always need, mercy. This is the cry of faith. For faith recognizes its need. Faith clings to Jesus alone because faith knows that Jesus is the only hope for salvation. So as we set our faces to Jerusalem, stop the excuses. Stop the pretend piety. Repent. Do not despise the disciples for their lack of understanding. Do not wonder how in the world they couldn't get it when the prophets and Jesus himself were vividly clear to them. Instead, examine yourself and ask why you, who do have the full account, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey was always wont to say, of our Lord's salvific work accomplished for you, ask why you so often don't get it. Ask yourself why you do not love God and neighbor as you ought. Ask yourself why you allow selfishness and pride to keep you from seeing the accurate reflection of your sins in God's holy law. Ask yourself why your love has not always been patient and kind, but has too often been suppressed by envy and boasting and arrogance and rudeness. Make this Lent a holy preparation, a cleansing and renewing of body, mind, and soul. Our Lord gives you this season, dear friends in Christ, as a gift that you would examine yourselves and ask these and many other questions of yourselves. For the answer to all of these questions is the same. You are a poor, miserable sinner, a blind beggar who is in desperate need of rescue. Admit it, tell the truth, confess it. For confession is good for the soul. It leads sinners to cry out time and time again, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And thanks be to God. He does. Always. He does. He always has mercy on those who beg him for it. Do not be ashamed to beg, dear friends. That's what you are. Beggars who have nothing at all to offer Jesus and who do not deserve what he desires to give you. Martin Luther, his last words were right. They were right on the money. He said, we are all beggars. This is true. That's what we are. Beggars. Beggars before our Lord, begging him for mercy, forgiveness, life, and salvation. And he never disappoints. He never turns away from beggars. He never scoffs at us and drives by as we beg for him on the side of the road. He always gives. That's who he is. That's what he does. That's why he went to the cross to suffer and die the death you deserve, that beggars like you might receive not only mercy and forgiveness and compassion and love, but an eternal kingdom where you will live and reign with him forever. Let this be how you approach this holy and penitential season that begins just a few short days from now, as beggars in need of Jesus and his gifts. You come even now, this day, as always, to his holy table as nothing more than beggars who will settle for the crumbs of his mercy. But our Lord delights to give you so much more. For he does not give you mere crumbs here at the holy altar, but he gives you himself, his very body and blood, the very body and blood he gave and shed for your sins. For beggars like you on the cross. This is the love that abides. It suffers long and is kind. It does not envy or parade itself. It is not puffed up and does not behave rudely or seek its own. This love is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. This is not how we love one another, even though we should. It is how God loves us in Jesus Christ. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus is mercy. Jesus is compassion. Jesus is faith. Jesus is hope. Your mercy, your compassion, your faith, your hope. And Jesus is the greatest of all. He is love. Love incarnate, love in our flesh, love come down to save you, poor miserable beggars that you are. And Jesus never fails. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
pray.
Gracious Father in heaven, you dwell in unapproachable light and shining glory. Illumine your church and heal our spiritual blindness. To that end, bless your pastors, especially our synodical president Matthew, our district president David, our circuit counselor Michael, and Thomas, our pastor in Christ, that our eyes may be open to see the salvation that you have prepared for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you named us as your children in the waters of holy baptism. Come to us this day as we hear your word and feast on our Savior's very body and blood. Move us to eagerly receive these gifts with thanksgiving, that through them we may joyously obtain the forgiveness of sins and behold your glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, you are the source of all truth. Protect your holy church from all false doctrine. Safeguard her from all who oppose the gospel of your Son, and raise up pastors to faithfully continue to defend their flocks, which you have put under their charge, by making sure that your people see false teachings for what they are. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Provide solace to all who are divorced, widowed, separated from their families, or suffer from any kind of loneliness. Help your holy church to come to their aid, that they may have the assurance of your love found only in the friend of sinners, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord of hosts, you are our strength and our shield. Protect the men and women who serve in law enforcement and in our armed forces, especially Gabe Blair, Derek Brown, Dustin Majewski, Johnny Peace, and Christopher Shaw. Give courage to those who serve in hazardous situations and bestow wisdom on our leaders, that they may live in peace according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, you create and sustain all things. Restore to health all who are sick or hospitalized or suffering in any way, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Joan Birch, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Donna Bebo, Charlotte Dargy, Bill Harmon, Ken Hill, Leroy Isaacson, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Jessica Updegraff, Scott McCullum, Landon Culp, Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, Maxine Cole, Phil Warsop, Lee G, Sherry Schaub, Joseph Tolk, Samantha Tolk, Elaine Wood, Pastor Dan Chambers, Robin Carter, Danielle West, Cassandra Helmes, Gianne Weiser, Dan Free, Thelma Prussner, Rosemary Reichart, Katie Weiner, Roy Brackett, and be with the family of Pastor Timothy Speckman, who was called home by our Lord on February 1st. Ease their pain and suffering, that they may find peace in your presence and comfort in your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty and gracious God, you led your people Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Protect all who are away from home, especially those who are vacationing, who travel for work, who have left for college. May your holy angels accompany them to preserve them from all danger, deliver them from evil, and lead them back safely to their families, that they may glorify your holy name and remain faithful unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Heavenly Father, we commend all for whom we pray, asking you to grant us these things and whatever else you know to be needful for us. We ask it in the holy name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
give thanks unto the Lord our God. Truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take this away the sin of the world. Christ given to you. The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
Very body of Christ.
The very body of Christ given for you. The very body of Christ given for you.
The very body of Christ.
May the Lord bless and keep you all your days. Amen. The very body of Christ given for you. 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 The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shed for you. The very blood of Christ shed for you.
Thank you.
Now this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Upon you and give you peace.